Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we progress through the narrative lectionary in these weeks, I want to point out to you something that enhances our experience of each week's theme. That is a photograph that is carefully chosen and prayerfully considered as a part of how it connects to the weekly theme. John Tollefson, if you'll just raise your hand. He is our photographer. He's very shy about that. But thank you for the ways in which you weekly provide us with an image that brings to life what we are hoping to lift up in each week's reading. Now, when I looked at this picture for the coming week, I actually thought about calling you, John, and saying, you know, I maybe kind of missed it. I mean, there is the part in the story of the widow and of Elijah where he does ask her for water. Sure, it's asking for a glass of water, but there's so much more going on here. And then I looked at it again and I thought, oh, now I get it. It's not just a glass of water. It's a water that is, it is a glass that is half empty. Or is it half full? It all depends on your perspective. This is the classic test, is it not, of whether or not you are a pessimist or an optimist. A pessimist will see a glass that is just half empty. There is only that much water. There could be so much more to quench your thirst. An optimist says, look at all the water in the glass, and there's even potential for more. It was a brilliant image to bring to this particular reading, John, in part because it lifts up the themes that are evident throughout this story. It is a story about scarcity versus abundance. The language of the widow of Zarephath is filled with scarcity. Elijah approaches her and asks her to make him a little piece of bread, a little bit for him to eat, a morsel, in fact. The widow's response is, look at my cupboards. I mean, I have nothing baked. Nothing, she says. I have just a handful of meal. I have just a little bit of oil in a jug. I am collecting just a few sticks to make a fire. And the bread that I bake will be the last meal that my son and I share before we die. Womp, womp. Sad. Scarcity language. In contrast, we have Elijah giving a sample of abundance by beginning and saying, oh, widow of Zarephath, do not be afraid. If I were the widow, and if I wanted to read a little bit of sarcasm into the reading this morning, I would think in my head, really? Do you not understand how close to death I am? Easy for you to say, O prophet of the Lord. Here is my son looking at me for his last meal, and you think that this is going to provide for him? Not only that, but I know how close death is because there is nothing left in my cupboards. It is fear that we hear spoken from the widow, not only words of scarcity, because scarcity breeds fear. When we don't know what tomorrow will bring, when we are uncertain of the future, we are immediately filled with fear. This is palpable in the reading today. But once again, Elijah, the glass is half full, he says, trust me, widow, for in fact, your jar of meal will not be emptied, and your jug of oil will not fail you. And sure enough, this becomes truth. How is it that Elijah can speak this word of abundance, to the widow in the midst of her fear and uncertainty? Well, of course, Elijah is a prophet, and a prophet's job is to be the spokesperson of God, whether that's good news for God's people or whether that's not such good news. And so, with faith and with a sense of his calling as the prophet, he tells the widow exactly what the Lord has told him. But you remember what happened just before this encounter with the widow. Elijah himself has experienced a sense of wanting and need and scarcity and the Lord has provided for him. Remember, there was a great drought that was coming to the land. Elijah knew of this drought because, again, he was a spokesperson for the Lord. He had proclaimed it. And then the Lord said, but I will take care of you, Elijah. Go to a wadi, which is a valley, a crevasse, a place where water collects. And in that wadi will be enough water for you to survive for a while. And I will have ravens feed you. This is a curious point in the story. Ravens are a scavenger bird. Ravens only care for themselves. I've read that ravens have the ability to play dead near a carcass so that when another scavenger comes to eat upon their feast, it can rise up and scare it away. I've heard that ravens will actually throw rocks from their nest to have any predator try and get at their babies. And ravens have even been known to pull out fishermen's lines out of water so that they can help themselves to the fish. A raven? A selfish bird caring for the needs of Elijah? It's preposterous. And yet, this is how God works in the most surprising of ways, even with the ravens providing Elijah food in the wilderness. Yes, Elijah has known scarcity, but Elijah has also known the abundance and the promises that God gives to him are true. On another All Saints Sunday, we gather to name these saints in light, to recall their lives among us. When death comes to us, we use words of scarcity. We say we have lost someone. In words of sympathy, we say to someone, I'm sorry for your loss. And death is a moment of scarcity. It is a time in which we do at times feel lost ourselves. We feel that hole, that lacking of the presence of someone among us, and it is painful. Grief is an experience unique to each person. And yet the experience is always inclusive of a hole that cannot be filled because of the place that person has had in our lives. In fact, there is a physical response to grief and ache. Maybe it can be close to the ache we feel when we are hungry, like our gut is churning and we want that space to be filled, and yet it seems that nothing can fully satisfy it. We may feel lost, disoriented. We may feel uncertain, maybe even afraid of what the future may bring. And yet, in the midst of grief, its heartache and pain, that hole that fills the spaces in our lives with longing for that person, and yet in those places, God proclaims an audacious promise. That death does not have the last word, that in Christ we have already died. We have a promise of new life, rising again to this new life, and it will be a life eternal. It is a powerful word of abundance in places of scarcity and loss. We see glimpses of this too in the story between the widow and Elijah. Glimpses of this audacious promise. Not only has the widow experienced a near-death moment with perhaps starvation, but she has also now experienced some challenges that will threaten to defeat her. It is the fact that a sickness has come. The sickness has come to affect her son. And we learn in the story that the breath is taken from him and he dies. In her anger, in her grief, she lashes out at Elijah. Who are you, man of God, that you have come to now take away my son to expose all my sinfulness? And now this. And Elijah scoops up her son, takes him, does some sort of ancient CPR upon him, and laments to God, why, God? God, please restore life into this little one. And the reading says that the Lord hears Elijah's cries and that breath is given back to the boy and he is revived. It is a story of resurrection. A story of resurrection in the Old Testament, a foreshadowing of a promise given to us in Jesus' own self. New life, abundant life, eternal life. The glass is half full, the glass is half empty. It depends on your perspective. Sometimes it seems like we are the widow looking at all of those places of scarcity. Sometimes we have the bold nature of being able to claim with Elijah that in fact there is an abundant and audacious promise that God gives. The widow actually gets to this point of abundance. She proclaims after that resurrection moment, "You are a man of God, Elijah. And now I know that the word of the Lord from your mouth is true." She says an audacious statement of faith that God's word is true, that with just a word, God can even raise the dead, that God's promises are truth. On this day, the truth of the matter is this. As we look at this image of a glass half empty or half full, the reality is it has been consistently filled to the brim. It may be that this glass is filled partially with elements known as water, but also elements known as air. It is never empty. And so it is with the promises we have in faith. As people of faith, we trust that whether seen or unseen, God's promises are true. Whether we can feel them or know that they are near, that promise is most certainly real. That promise will never let us go. That promise is never emptied from us, never taken away. We are filled completely with the hope we have in Christ. And how can we make this audacious claim? In part because it has been made for us already in the waters of baptism that has claimed us as saints now and as saints in light. And because we have seen in those who have died in the faith what it means to live in a bold confidence of those promises and what it means for us as we gather each Sunday to hear that word proclaimed and to be renewed in our lives and in the promises given to us. And that word is just as true for you today as it was for that widow in her time of scarcity. Do not be afraid. The Lord will provide. Amen.